This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation is brought to you by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Atos Holdings, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Fincastle Media Group, Alive, Carifta Aquatics 2024, Boonerville Bones, Barefoot Marketing, Paradise Fisheries, and AML Foods Limited.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Oh, what a night. Oh, gosh, what a night. I feel good when you're wrapped up in my arms, dancing to a reggae song. Feel good, feel good. I feel good, 'cause your perfume isn't loud and only I can talk about. Feel good, feel good. You feel like velvet rubbing over my skin, when your hair dances on the machine. I wish we were alone, baby, just the two of us. Yes, every move you make gives me a rush.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is an absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon, Monday, March 11th, 2024. Live and in full effect, you are in the land of the living. You should be giving praise. It's a beautiful day, guys. One day away from my wife's birthday. She is wilding out for the past 12 days now, 11 days. It has been her birthday. It is too much. I cannot take it. When will March over? It's, when will the month be done? You know, she's listening to me right now. Fight me, the Bai Kong silent for. I'm not going to fight her. Praise God, tomorrow's going to be her birthday. She's celebrating her birthday. She is going to be sweet 16, obviously. You know, that's what she's going to be. So happy birthday, happy pre-birthday to you. I have a honey-do list, so I got to kind of lay some stuff out with that. Guys, it's a beautiful day. If you're celebrating a birthday, I want to say happy birthday to you also on this gorgeous day. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper and read the information's in there. Pintard slams the government flip-flop. Flip-flop, it's Bush word now, they need to stop. Flip-flop on NIB. We're going to take this kind of position to talk about these things. But I got to give a shout-out to my good and decent people, AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They are down. They are located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They get everything laid out for you. They are open on Saturday. Open on Saturdays. That's for all those persons who are above board, the highbrow. Open on Saturday. For all those persons who may not necessarily understand what I'm saying, but they open on after Friday, Saturday, they open for you guys to be able to take care of that for you. If you have your fleet of cars, you got your SDs, you got your jitney, you got your taxi, whatever you have, your livery, whatever you have, they do in-house financing. You ain't got to pay everything up front. in-house financing. They can accommodate you and make sure that you're taken care of to make sure you get all the insurance necessary to ride on the government road. 3411 AFS, 3411 AFS. Reach out to them, number 407 South, Blue Hill Road South, right just east of the Golden Gates Shopping Center. Now, I want to talk about a great deal of things. I think last week we've had a mouthful. We have had significant conversations. And one of the things that actually popped up to me, which I felt indifferent with, I didn't understand exactly what is what, when we found out that 4,000 persons, some 4,000 persons would have been released by thugs in Haiti. And as a result of the information that came to the forefront, we saw the sort of a barricade, a blockade, and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force being able to take a strong position to say that this is the things that we're going to do. On the road, on the sea, in the air, all these particular precautions to be able to take. I wanted to find out more about that. Also, I found out some information indicating that the Prime Minister, the President of Haiti right now, is stranded, not able to get back into Haiti. We're going to find out more information about this. And none other than my very good friend is here to talk with me. Now, y'all, listen, grind your teeth, grinch your teeth, do what you got to do now. This is my guy. He's here with me, and we're going to have good conversation. You're not smiling, you're laughing. Howard, you know they're going to let you up. You don't need to stop. We're going to have a good conversation with my good friend, none other than Luby Georges. Luby, say good afternoon to people.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Good afternoon to the world, because we got people listening on the World Wide Web. Howard, it is always a pleasure to be in your company.
These people love you, Luby.
I love them, too. I love them too, man. You know, I saw Nuri on the way up, and you know, he asked, you know, what are you guys going to be discussing? I said, everything and a little bit of Haiti. And he said, oh my God, wow. You know, the phone lines are going to be crazy. Just watch out for it. But I said, you know what? Howard is a, you know, vet, professional sure. at what you do. And so we're going to try to have a sober conversation and just lay down.
Bring in a veterinarian. We're going to have a good conversation today. I want to talk about it like this. I want to start it off with this. For a very long time, we've seen Haiti in turmoil and sort of an uproar, especially after the former president actually was assassinated, taken out. Even before that, in 2010 with the earthquakes, it seems like it's one issue after another. Now, with pronouncements over maybe 2 weeks ago, we would have seen the president indicate...
Prime Minister,
indicated that...
De facto.
Right? De facto. Yeah, that's very clear, right? That... By August 31st of next year, mm-hmm. that they should have an election.
And that's when he plans on holding an election, sticking true to his dictatorship style of ruling the country. You must understand, Howard, that he came into office and was installed a few weeks after the president was assassinated. And this would have been early July 2021. Let's do the timeline mm-hmm, here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. July mm-hmm. 2021. All right? Mm-hmm. A full presidential mandate is some 5 years. Mm-hmm. All right? He came in July 2021. July this year would make how many years?
Four. 20 years.
4 years, right? Mm-hmm. No, 3 years.
3 years to July this year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Next July would mean 4 years.
4 years.
After the elections, it is some months after... that the elected officials would be installed to take the reins of governing the country, which would meet somewhere around the 7th of February, 2026. That is when he would actually demit office, notwithstanding an election being held in 2025. So this is nearly a full term for somebody whom the constitution of the country says could have only and should have only served for 90 days, 3 months. 3 months is what his mandate stipulated.
Now, let me ask you this question. Let's get into this now. We know what the constitution says. Every constitution, I haven't read the constitution of Haiti, right?
It's online.
I have some friends who... Love that. They called me all the time and talked about it. Shout out to Richard. Richard, hope you will. Mm-hmm. But every constitution has a caveat that if they're in the event of a natural disaster, mm-hmm. in the event of a war, in the event of these particular things, in the event of civil unrest, mm-hmm. there is an access and opportunity for us to be able to do that, which former Prime Minister and Minister took up with COVID-19, mm-hmm. indicating that it was a war
mm-hmm. against COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of this pronouncement from the office of the prime minister or in this high capacity that there is a war against a particular... Now you tap into something else. Talk to me about that.
Well, the Constitution speaks very clearly on who then should lead the country in the event of this civil war or whatever you may want to call it. And let's note also that what is happening now was not to the extent in 2021. It was not to this extent. All right? So anyway, so let's put that aside. It speaks to the judiciary. It speaks to the highest court, the highest judiciary personnel taking over, forming a transitional council or government, and their job or mandate then would be to make preparations for a general election. The de facto prime minister has held on to the reins of governing and prime ministership, president, king, the emperor, whatever you want, whatever title that you may want to give him. Since July of 2021, he's held on to it when he should not have been holding on to it. He could have and should have been in the position for 3 months, 90 days. The Constitution is clear that the judge from the highest court, the highest judge there, is the individual that should take the country through the transitional period. And that has not happened.
I want to ask you this question now. As I read through the information, and not necessarily what's printed on the paper, what's electronic, but between the lines, for a man to be able to retain a position of power significantly for this duration of time, as you indicate, July to make 3 years, a sitting prime minister would only hold this kind of a space for five, so more than half the time he's already been in this position.
Mm-hmm. And please note that prime ministers are not elected in Haiti.
Now let me ask you this question. Which power, which force is supporting this position, whether this is based upon allegation, based upon what's being able to be pronounced in the media and otherwise, which force do we know is being able to support him in this position that he could retain this power for such a long time?
It's clear that the UN and the G7 countries are... it is
now,
clear.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Right.
I set that up to be decent. I hope you see that.
But okay. Listen. If we skate around the facts, if we skate around what is clear in our eyes, the all of the details, all of the particulars, they're right before our eyes, Howard. This man is going, they know that constitutionally speaking, he does not have a mandate, but yet is at the UN signing and making speeches and declarations.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's supposed to be a Kenyan force going on into Haiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember,
they pulled back.
Remember, they didn't pull back. There was an issue because of a particular loophole in the Kenyan constitution.
Yes.
The opposition party went to the highest courts or the Supreme Court, whatever that may be, in Kenya and said, hey, no, according to our constitution, police officers, and these are not army men now that they're sending out, they're talking about the police people, right? The police officers cannot be sent off to another jurisdiction or to another country without there being an agreement in place between Kenya and that other country where there is a fair exchange. So, you know, you send us some officers, we send you some for training purposes, for whatever purposes, but there has to be an agreement signed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the courts struck that down and was in agreement. So that was the first barrier. So now what the prime minister or president of Kenya did was he invited the de facto prime minister of Haiti to Kenya, right? He went to Kenya and he signed an agreement with, mine's buzzing. He signed an agreement with Kenya. So now the opposition forces are saying, okay, that still doesn't take into effect because of two reasons. One, it has to be ratified in our parliament. So that needs to be voted on. You just don't make that decision as president or prime minister of Kenya. And then two, they're looking at the constitutional position of this de facto prime minister of Haiti. Does he have, in law, the backing to be able to sign such agreements on behalf of Haiti?
And he can't.
And he can't.
From a constitutional standpoint.
He can't from a constitutional standpoint. But yet, the G7 nations, the United Nations, the OAS, CARICOM, everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've not studied law. I mean, it's simple, you know. And if we're following Western media, Howard, these sorts of trickling and little inklings of information, we would miss. And that is why, you know, thankfully I can speak the Haitian Creole language and I follow their news. So we get to see and we get to hear this information from their perspective and their standpoint also. And so that is the issue that Haiti is facing. And so
is there a unified voice in Haiti that takes on this kind of position?
Yeah, man.
What I mean by that is that if you take American news, right? We all know American news. We listen to mainstream news, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. But we know that every single one of those has an angle.
Listen, Howard, I'm pretty sure you know other individuals of Haitian descent or Haitian background, right?
Yeah.
Reach out to them. I would pay them personally if they can find one prominent media house, television, radio, social media feed that is speaking in support of the de facto prime minister.
Which is essentially the UN.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
None. There was no journalist. There was no talk show host, female, male. I mean, the most popular, the highest. I mean, the ones with the most ratings. They put out their shows, and then one day these guys have 1 million views. Listen, there is none, absolutely none, that is in support, that is speaking in support, that is putting forth some sort of information or argument that may cause you to have some doubt or to think twice that, hey, this man, we should allow him to stay so that he can, prepare the elections and put in the presidential council and the transitional government and all this. None, absolutely none.
I want to take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. But before I do that, Luby, when we get back, I'm going to talk like this. This guy is a 74-year-old neurosurgeon. From France.
Yeah, the best in Haiti.
Now watch me. Is it possible that the lily white scrub concept of the Western world seeks to be able to have their man in place so they can be able to execute some things and do some things according to what? Come on now. When we get back, let's talk about this. I know. Hold on. When we get back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take this quick commercial break right here in the foundation. We're talking a little bit about what's going on in Haiti. And we're going to bring this thing home to see exactly why we feel that we have to put up all our guards in preparation for what's coming down the line. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Are you ready for a home of your own? Then you should attend BOB's Mortgage Fair on Saturday, March 16th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at BOB's JFK Drive branch. Come take advantage of attractive rates on residential mortgages starting as low as 3.99%. Switch, build, or buy with as little as 5% down. Talk with our mortgage experts, fill out your application, and get the advice you need from our legal and insurance partners. It's time you came home to a place of your own. On Saturday, March 16th, welcome home with BOB, your bank of solutions.
Make your mornings easy with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau. These delicious bowls are a complete breakfast in a convenient package for those on the run who want to enjoy the most important meal of the day, the BK way. Each breakfast bowl has all the breakfast fixings you love and comes in three tasty versions to choose from, including the classic, the Southwestern style, and the keto-friendly bowl. BK just made breakfast easier with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Foundation. The foundation.
foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, here with none other than Luby Georges. Being able to talk, I try to talk quick as possible because Luby only got an hour with us. So we can start this kind of a conversation. Now Luby, when we left off, I try to be able to paint an image of pristine, Creole-speaking, French-educated neurosurgeon, top of his class, 74, supported by the UN. Talk to me about this. Is it the desire, not just of the UN? Let's talk about the G7 nations. Let's talk about this sort of a Western concept. Why is there relentless support? Why not? You know what? Let's get deeper with this. Our prime minister, in his particular capacity, as head of CARICOM in this particular session during this time, right, has come to the forefront. They had some meetings. They did everything they can possibly do. They start to talk about this idea that we want to help Haiti, but it got to be a Haitian-led solution, mm-hmm. which I feel is oxymoronic, which I feel is redundant. Like, how can you say that they take on this position that it should be a Haitian-led solution?
Yeah.
But how they could sit at the table and say, we want to help, but it's a Haitian-led solution. Now, I'm only asking you this question to find out what's going on in the back of this curtain.
So it means the Haitian people, leaders, civil society, whatever it may take, they can come to the table with their vision, with their proposals to take Haiti into the next frontier. And then they can also say, hey, CARICOM, this is how we think you can assist us in getting to the end goal. UN, USA, or other friendly nations or other allies that they may possibly be able to bring on and to take on as friends moving forward. So I do understand the position, and I do commend our prime minister in the Bahamas.
Do you think it's possible?
I do think it's possible. If the U.S., Canada,
in the simplest France, of terms.
If they would just stop meddling.
In the simplest of terms.
Just let them be.
But is this not meddling?
Huh?
Is this not meddling?
I don't think so. CARICOM had no choice but to step in, especially countries like the Bahamas, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic. I'm not even sure if they're part of CARICOM. But yeah, especially those countries don't have a choice because we feel the effects. The Bahamas feels the effects. Jamaica feels Dealing. The effects. Cuba feels the effects. Turks and Caicos feels the effects. South Florida feels the effects. All right? They feel the effect.
Regionally,
countries are feeling the effects of those push factors in Haiti, all while the Haitian people are still saying, listen, we don't want to leave. But you guys, especially the U.S. and others, you're almost basically not giving us a chance to stay in our country. So it's either stay here or die. And I'm not willing to die, so what am I going to do? I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to take a chance to go to somewhere else, save myself, save my kids, save my family. And that's what's happening. You've had former U.S. presidents like Bill Clinton speak clearly about the meddling in Haiti. He's spoken and taken onus and responsibility for killing out the Haitian rice industry.
Which I thought that was crazy when he did that.
He speaks.
I thought
clear.
It was crazy. We knew this. We saw this over the years. But then for...
Democratic Bill Clinton.
I couldn't believe it.
Democratic Bill Clinton.
So let's
Two
talk
times
about this.
President
let's bring
Bill
this,
Clinton.
Let's bring this thing back home. Let's bring it home. Over the past few weeks, we saw the Royal Bahamas Police Force start to talk about an increase in sort of a blockage to be able to really secure our southern borders. As a result of what's happened in Haiti with the 4,000 persons who've been released from prison. Was that, based upon the information that you're hearing, was that strategic? Was that just as a result of the uprising? What's happening in these particular incidents, in these instances?
Oh, you mean with the prison break?
The prison break, yeah.
Well, let's get down to the crux of it so that you understand exactly what's happening and how did it get to that point. The gang leaders, some of whom you would see Western media pushing persons like Barbecue, I'm pretty sure you've seen the name,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Cherizier. People like him and other gang leaders who were doing the kidnapping and all of the other crazy stuff, they've decided that they're going to create an alliance. They've decided, and they've told the entire country that, hey, these guys, the politicians, and they've been naming them. And this is what I'm saying. If you follow Western media, you would be lost. Because these guys with the guns, the gangbangers, the gang leaders, they have gone publicly on many occasions and said, hey, this politician, that politician, these are the guys that gave us these guns. We were too blind and we were too lost. They are the ones who had us committing these heinous crimes, paying us to do it, to keep the country in a destabilized position so that they can continue to rule and so that you can continue to be in a desperate state and have to run to them. These guys have said, this one, that one, these are the people. These are where the guns are coming in. This is how the guns are getting into our country. Do you see the type of rifles these guys have?
I see.
And now...
I saw a room full of it.
And now... What these gang leaders have said, they've decided to band together and they've told the country, sorry for all of the wrong that we've done. Listen, sorry ain't enough, but I'm just giving you what the story is. Sorry for all of the wrong that we've done, but we've decided now that these guys that have armed us, that we're not going to turn these guns against you, the poor civilians, because we come from you. We're from the same neighborhoods. It is time for us to take a look at the bourgeoisie. It is time for us to look at the mulattoes. It is time for us to look at the upper elites that have continued to oppress and hold down this country. And so guess what? We want elections. We want this de facto prime minister gone. If he's gone, if elections are called, listen, we stand down. That's what they want.
But Haiti's been having these problems for years.
Not
for
like
decades.
This. Not like this.
Haiti has been having these issues for decades.
Not like this.
Yeah, but it there's has only an expectation, Bluby.
Listen.
Bluby. It's listen. Only expected to increase after they've hit sort of a lull and this sort of this plateau for a very long time. It only could increase at this particular point.
But
they hit the fork in the road.
But where do you start in terms of having a change? Remember, the president that was assassinated July 2021, President Jovenel Moïse, he had about 7 months remaining on his term. You knew that?
Yes.
There's about 7 terms remaining, but yet they assassinated him. A man who was completely on his way out, term finish. This guy was revolutionary. This guy was progressive. This guy, I remember my mother going to Haiti maybe a year or two before he passed, right? And she cried because for the first time in her entire life, heading to her particular municipality in Haiti, it was a smooth journey. Infrastructure was being built. This was a guy talking about electrifying the entire country within 24 months and was well on the way.
But they had to take him out.
This was a guy who started to build hospitals in the most neglected areas in Haiti. There's a guy now that goes around doing videos and showing all of the work that was stopped since the assassination of said president. But yet you have this de facto prime minister who's in place, but the work was already started, right?
Has
the
he done anything?
Work, nothing. Everything that the assassinated prime minister and his team were doing, everything has stopped.
So
no roads paved, no electricity, no more clinics or healthcare facilities being built, no more schools being built. Come on, ports, that sort of thing. This is what he was trying to do for the country, to open it up and to allow Haitians to live at a certain standard. And then it would bring in some confidence to those living abroad, foreign investors, Haitians in the diaspora maybe can come back and invest. And then what would you see? The economy growing. What else would happen? Haitians start to stay home. This man was taken out. So to say that Haiti has always been in this situation, we understand the different crises that Haiti has had at different periods and times.
Yes.
But this was a prime minister within 4 years
yes.
that was starting to stabilize.
And is there a belief, overarching belief within Haiti that an election right now could be able to change the course of what's happening there and take out Prime Minister Henry?
That's the first step. It is the first step.
Have they identified someone that speaks with the language and passion of the former president? Have they identified someone who has an idea to be able to execute for infrastructural development? Have they identified someone or some grouping
to take them through a transitional period?
To take them to this.
Because if he resigns, then you have to have that presidential council in place.
So who's fighting against it? It's the only persons who...
Him!
Who seem... No, his backers. What I'm asking you is this. The only grouping that it seems to be able to come, they had a quote-unquote come-to-Jesus moment, said to the people, we're no longer going to turn the guns on you. We're going to be able to identify the bourgeoisie, so forth and so on. Is this conglomerate?
No, you've had... The first event that really kicked off all of this was on the 7th of February, where you had persons like former Senator Guy Philippe, where you had persons like Moise Jean Charles, former senator also, and former prime minister, Dr. Claude Joseph, who was prime minister during the assassinated prime minister's term too.
Mm-hmm.
Those three have been at the fore, with Guy Philippe being at the foremost position, being that figure that has started this so-called revolutionary.
This is a transitional team.
So it seems that this would be the transitional team.
What's sort of the consensus?
And they are being, I mean, throughout the entire country, you can see it on the news, you can see it protests, and persons are saying, you know what, these persons have shown a love and a vision for the country. We do not mind having, I'm not saying this, this is what is out there. They're saying they don't mind to have these individuals take them through that transitional period, have free, fair elections, supported by overseers or, you know, persons to come
the
in.
The UN can come and do this. UN,
exactly. CARICOM can come in.
This is what you can come and do this.
OAS can come in and assist with, you know, overseeing the elections and that sort of thing.
To make sure it's free and fair.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. They have a role that they can play. Right?
But they prefer to play the supporting of an individual.
Of an individual whom the entire country has said, guess what,
democracy.
We do not want. And if he remains, then this is what we're willing to do. We're willing to go in all-out chaos mode as long as you guys continue to support this man and have him. And that's why they've come out with this slogan, DDN, D-O-D-O-Net, out, stay out. And that's
essentially that's why he is in Puerto Rico now.
Exactly.
And can't come home.
The airports are only open because he's out of the country. There was a protest out front of the airport in Cape Haitian last week, Monday, I think it was. Only because they had some information or ideas that maybe he would be landing at that airport. And the people went there.
They come for him.
And this is a relatively safe area, by the way. This is, you know, the second city.
I never understand when you say relatively safe.
Cape Haitian, there's nothing happening there. All of this foolishness that we see happening, that's Port-au-Prince, bro.
Only in Port-au-Prince.
That's like the crime wave that we have been crying about here in Nassau and then trying to still tell people don't go to Acklands.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
No.
Acklands is relatively safe.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Acklands is safe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear none of that in San Salvador and Rumkey and all of these other places. Mm-hmm. We don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Nassau. Okay? So it's the same thing. It's Port-au-Prince. During all of this time that people are saying all of this crazy stuff, listen, I've been traveling back and forth to Haiti, and I've been enjoying myself. I've been staying out 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I've been moving all about the place.
And you're still here.
It's not what the news media, listen, they take a snapshot of Port-au-Prince and they say, hey, this is what's going on.
Well, that's what the Western media does.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
And we've bought that hook, line, and sinker. And to some degree, I don't blame the Bahamian or the English-speaking people who are not aware or don't have any links or ties. I don't blame you because where else would you look for the information?
But that's why I call you now.
Exactly.
That's why we're
trying to lay some of this on the table.
I need to know whether or not we locally have gone into a hissy fit as it relates to being able to secure our borders beyond what the measurements that were in place prior or the measurements that we historically know to be, safeguarding our borders. We've seen the Royal Bahamas Defense Force come on and take this kind of a position as a result of what's happening in with the jailbreak and so forth and so on. Is this a precaution that is necessary, or is this something that all of us could be up in arms for, or are we just blown out of proportion?
With such situations happening so close, so close to the Bahamas. I mean, it is always better to be safe
than sorry.
I
like this.
It's better to be safe than sorry. So I do not knock the. In fact, I applaud the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the government for taking such a position to say, you know what, we're going to ensure that we bolster up the surveillance teams down in the south. It makes sense.
You and I are going to have
it makes sense.
Some real conversations one day because
Agree with is the flight suspensions. I can understand
to Haiti. Like,
announcing that we won't fly is one thing where we take our own position, but you know, saying that, you know what, right now the airports are not allowing planes to land, and so we're going to wait until that situation clears up. You know, it's how we
word it.
It's how we put it out to the public, because other airlines are not saying that, hey, we indefinitely we're not going. Listen, the issue right now is hold on to your tickets. We just can't get clearance to land in Cape. And the only reason why you couldn't land in Cape last week was because there was one protest in front of the airport because they thought he was going to land at that particular airport. Cape is safe, bro.
Wow.
None of that is happening there.
I got to take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. I see the lines are lit up. If you want to be able to hit Luby real quick, you can do so.
Oh, man. You forget what you said.
Okay, yeah. So,
but let
so,
that be. No, go ahead, though.
I'm not going to fight you. Let me take the commercial break.
Go ahead. We'll take one or two.
Let me take the quick commercial break. I'll be right back after this.
I don't know what
people... Foundation.
Wings are here. Popeyes now has wings in 5 flavors. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan. Marinated for 12 hours. Hand battered and breaded in a bold Louisiana seasoning. And they're only $7.25 for 6 wings. Taste them.
Crunchy outside.
And juicy inside.
Try the new wings from Popeyes now.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We need to talk, and it's about something pretty important, your NIB contributions. For nearly 50 years, NIB contributions from hardworking Bahamians have supported families and individuals alike. And while the scope of NIB benefits has increased, contribution rates have remained relatively unchanged. That's why starting on July 1st, 2024, both employers and employees will have to pay a little extra to sustain this national lifeline. But how do we get here? Here are the facts. Firstly, Bahamian families have changed. With fewer people having children, there are fewer people eventually joining the workforce. And with Bahamian retirees living longer, NIB payouts have gone up, but the NIB contributions continue to drop. The July 1st rate increase is our way to ensure NIB benefits are available for generations to come. We all have a role to play, and it starts with investing in tomorrow today. With NIB.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Right here, last few minutes with Luby Georges being able to talk about what's going on in Haiti now. Luby, I just wanted to be very clear with you. I wanted to know our position, whether or not we threw a hissy fit based upon exactly what was happening. I like the position that you've taken, being able to lend applause to those persons in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, the police force, to ensure that you can safeguard our borders and do whatever you can. I like that. But I think you and I, one day, we got to have a very clear conversation about the corruption that exists in these particular spaces. Because despite the fact that We could fortify our borders in the midst of what's happening, the civil unrest that's happening in Haiti. We've seen over the course of almost a decade or maybe even more now that these sloops, these boats that are coming in, seem to be able to navigate certain shores and banks as though they have communication. Talk to me. This would be very clear. You and I got to have a conversation about this. There has to be, whether it's being spoken softly or whether it's pronounced in within these particular environments, there has to be relation or connection that affords them an opportunity to be able to know where to go, when to go, how to go. Talk to me. Is this me getting into conspiracy theory or is any truth?
I mean, I don't think you made up the conspiracy theory.
Talk to me.
It's a theory that I've been hearing since I've been a child, nothing that I've been able to verify or confirm. You know, I've never been around persons in that.
You make a good politician, though. I like it.
But however, yeah, it's a theory that I've heard before. So maybe one day we could have a conversation.
I'd like to talk about that because I don't necessarily want to put it on them. I think you said something.
It makes one wonder, you know. I mean, but at the end of the day, I've heard also Defense Force officers and former officers, persons like Levon Miller, saying, you know what, we don't have any idea of what it's like to be out there on, you know, vast stretches of just ocean searching for essentially a piece of stick. Because the majority of these boats are painted what color? If you've ever seen them, blue.
Just like, okay.
You see what I'm saying? And so what is the only thing that is visible from a distance? What you call that thing, the stick poking up the mast? I don't know what you call that. Yeah. I'm not a marine type person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever thing that the sail goes on. That. So essentially he says, you're in hundreds or thousands of miles of stretches of ocean, and you're telling me now I need to be looking out for a piece of stick. You're talking about a vessel that is made out of wood. No sophisticated type of electronics or technology on it. So how is our, you know, sophisticated tools going to be picking up this thing? I mean, maybe now we have more sophisticated tools, right? We got the drones. Maybe we can do some air reconnaissance type of activities. But essentially, this is what he said, and that's what makes it that much difficult to spot them. But again, they've mastered the waters. They know the channels. They know the banks. My only thing with that, you know, going back to what you said is, you know, well, if they know which route to take, how come we've not figured out exactly what route they are taking? How come we don't know?
So I just want to have a clear conversation. There's something happening here, right? Because let me say,
I mean, I can understand why you would think that.
You said something earlier. You said, hey, these guys are going through a great deal of issues. Murders, killing, all these things. They're locked in, and whatever it takes, they want to get out. Right. They want to get out. They want to. So everyone, whether that's Cuba, whether that's Dominican Republic, whether that's the Bahamas, whether that's Jamaica, everyone's going to be able to feel this kind of a need to get out because of the issues that exist in Haiti. Whether or not we could be able to debate whether or not these issues have amplified now or has been consistent over time and recently amplified, Haitians have been finding their ways out of Haiti for a very long time. So I just want to know this. I can't blame those persons who are seeking liberation, but I want to be able to talk about the corruption that exists within our borders that allow these things to happen, that turn their heads, that accept a couple of dollars, that when somebody knock on your door, somebody go up under their mattress and slide them something. These are the things that we have to have a very clear conversation.
Like you know something, though.
Hold on. Ever since I was a child, you know, I've been hearing these things.
You would make a good politician.
Ever since I was a child, I've been hearing these things. So I want to talk like that with you, and we got to have more of these conversations. I think it's very important that we have more educational conversations about where we are, what we can do, what's the signs to look out for. I'd like to know about, you know, whether or not there are groups going into the shanty towns, having conversations about amalgamating into the culture that is the Bahamas and being able to leave what you've known behind and being able to formally get a part of these are the things that we...
Our conversation about the availability of affordable housing.
See, Luby, you're getting deep. I like these things. Mm. But that goes two ways.
You ever been to Abaco?
I have.
How recent you've been?
I haven't been to Abaco since the hurricane.
Since the hurricane?
I haven't been since the hurricane.
You should do yourself a favor. Guardian Radio should send a team down there. Do some researching, investigative journalism, and try to find out, on average, what rent is like in places like Abaco, and try to find out how many possible rental units are available on the island itself.
Wow.
And then, just oppose that to...
Shantytowns being built.
Not the shantytowns. To Abaco being rebuilt. I'm talking to being restored to what it was. Right?
You know, this the is economy, the conversation you get
the
into
hotels,
with me.
The second homes.
You see,
the plazas.
The former prime minister indicated that they won't get back to normalcy.
And then you talk about what
it's impossible, Lubin.
What type of labor force does it take to get back to normalcy?
It's impossible. They're not going to get back to normalcy.
Okay, whatever. But they're going to be building back Abaco, right?
Building better.
Building back and building better.
Okay.
Good. Let's do this. Do this exercise. Take away every single migrant off of Abaco right now.
You ain't gonna build nothing. Because they
one, you ain't gonna build nothing.
They're bringing in Mexicans and all.
But let's take away all of the migrants off of Abaco. Let's be real with ourselves. Take away all of the migrants in Abaco, right? Let's replace every single one of them. Let's replace every single one of them with a Bahamian citizen. Where does that Bahamian, or where does those Bahamian?
Where they can stay.
Where they can stay.
Luby, I want you to join me again. I don't know when you're available. I see this consultancy. Tell everybody what your consultancy company, where you can get your stuff done.
Yeah, we do immigration consultancy, and I've been saying this now for about 2 years.
I tell you, come
years.
Do some business with me. You ain't never come.
I still have that on my radar.
You're my guy.
I still have that on my radar. So we assist in helping people to do things legally and to do things the right way. We're in the Gary's Plaza, Robinson Road, and Key West Street, 603-1665. We can be reached there.
603-1665.
Yep, that's a direct line. The WhatsApp line, 804-1665. Consulting Beyond Boundaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was none other than Luby Georges telling us just sort of a snapshot of what's happening on the ground in Haiti and whether or not we're taking the right measures to ensure that we can safeguard ourselves. We got to get to news and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon, live and in full effect. Happy birthday to all those persons celebrating your birthday. Luby was on, and he could give me an hour. I didn't fight him. And I didn't take any telephone calls because there is a stigma associated with when you hear Luby. This is a decision that I've made. I told him that, all right? I said, I won't talk about it. I know that his ear is on the ground. I know that he's doing his consulting. I know that he's always in Haiti. And I wanted clarity to understand whether or not we're taking the proper precaution, what's really the affiliation associated with Prime Minister Henry in his particular capacity. And as we start to kind of push past the media and what's being fed to us here in the Western world, we understand a little deeper that this is only a desire, I think, just like us. Because as I'm listening to Luby, talk to me. As I'm listening to Luby, I see eerily similar you know, tribulation that's happening between not only what's happening in Haiti, but it happens here. And I would like to know. I'd like to know. There must be an overarching conspiracy. There's sort of an idea that is associated with being able to keep the proverbial foots, the knees, on the necks of those that seek to get out of this sort of the muck and mire of poverty. What's happening? It can't be that so many people cry out, despite their language, despite their ethnicity, despite the geographic location, they're crying out for an idea to be able to be liberated. And there are mechanisms in place to ensure that everything remains the same. I'm going to open up the lines. I want you guys to join me today. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me at 422-4796. It's a call on the line. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Al, what's up, brother?
All is well, man. What's up?
Boy, one thing I can say with you. You was a very smart talk show host. You was know who? When to open up your phone lines.
I don't... Do it. I don't want murky up the conversation. I don't like that. I don't want people to say, Lubi, if you like Haiti so much, you need to go back. That is not what we're talking about today.
Thank you very much, sir.
That ain't what we're talking about today.
Very much.
Okay? That's not what we're talking about today.
I'm trying to figure out, right? And give me some clarity on this.
Go ahead.
How is it that every time you have the UN... You have the United States, even the Bahamas, donate things to Haiti, such as, I saw a couple months ago where they were doing centers and different things, right? And gas station, but how? The minute these people have civil unrest, they burn these places down. Why?
But that's the whole idea behind civil unrest. They got to burn things down.
But Howard, why do they burn the places down and then a couple months later they're looking for help?
But you don't know a civil unrest until we show you we're serious. Like the Burma Rome riot, we get to burn things down on Black Tuesday. We got to do things like this to let you know that we've already talked this out. We tried to be able to negotiate this. We tried to have this kind of a clear conversation up front. You didn't want to hear us. Now, boom, you're going to feel it. But Grammy say you can know why lobster red.
But I can be honest, Howard. To be real with you, the Haitian government, they refuse. And I've been doing my research, refuse to ask the United States for help. Because they know if the United States comes over there, right? They can govern that country. And how would you know that? Haiti is like a mustard seed to the powerful country like the United States to govern that country and put some kind of stabilization of governance back in that country. Haiti wants to be like that. Haiti don't want change, Howard. It's been too many years. You had Papa Doc, the son, you had the daddy, you had the guy who run the France, you had all of these people who they say they want. And then the next couple of years, civil unrest, fighting, burning down everything. And these people, you know what's hurt me, Howard? You know what's hurt me with this? When I see those innocent children in Haiti running for cover, that's what has hurt me. Because they don't know nothing, but because of the conditions, they put themselves in, you know, and then when they put themselves in these conditions, they're looking for help. Come on, Howard, let's be real, man. The Haitians don't want change. Huh? You have a gang leader running your country? You think that could ever happen in the Bahamas?
Which gang leader?
We might have one or two murders, but that could never happen in the Bahamas or nowhere else in the world. All right? Until the Haitians help themselves, you can find people helping them.
Wow. I appreciate you, Dubit. I appreciate you, Dubit. Thank you, man. Thank you so much for your contribution and your position. The lines are open, guys, if you want to be able to contribute. Now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Just close your eyes. Well, if you're driving, don't do so. Just for 2 seconds. Just 2 seconds. And as you breathe in and you breathe out, you'd recognize something. The only time that you realize your ethnicity matters, your geographical location matters, is when you open your eyes. I accept that. I'm not going to fight you. But in your existence, in your consciousness, in your spirit, in your mind, you are a human being. No matter your language, no matter your position, no matter what you speak, you are a human being. When your mother and father got together, you had no say in this. None. you had no say in this. Your culture, what you've been predisposed to, your position, you had no say in this. My God, y'all can text me right now. Howard, you're a Haitian sympathizer. I got that text last week. But this is not sympathy for no specific ethnicity. This is just clarity of who we are as human beings. I often think about whether that's Ukraine, whether that's Iran, whether that's Palestine. I often think about the turmoil that exists in these spaces. I've had an opportunity to be able to visit California last year, December. I went for my birthday. You know that. And I caught an Uber with this guy, and he was, I can't remember his country that he's to tell me he was from. He said he ate potatoes for years. He even forgot the taste of meat. He said they were so poor that they would eat the potato skin in the morning, and in the evening, whenever anyone came around, their mother would try to offer them the actual potato, the inside of the potato, so they wouldn't be viewed as poor. He said he eat potatoes every which way from Sunday. He said he had curry potato, grilled potato, boiled potato. This man just eat potatoes. And the only story that I could be able to connect this to was when I heard Aloftus Roker indicate that he was so poor, he didn't even know. He just thought that this was life. That he would boil his potato and eat that. This is what he had. And I realized one thing. All of us are just men. No matter what you speak, no matter where you're from, no matter how people look down upon you based upon your environment and what you've been predisposed to, it doesn't matter. I am not here condemning Haiti or Haitians. That's not what I'm going to do. The fact of the matter is that from the story we will hear when Luby Georges speak, these Haitians want to stay home. They don't want to come out here. They don't want to be on the high seas. They don't want to be in this kind of position, but they're taking a chance for survival. They're taking a chance. They are looking for the proverbial railroad, just like Harriet Tubman, to liberty. And we could fight our guts out. We could fight them. Or we could figure out how to help. Now, we can't do any of this without clarity. And I just need to know, without the influence of the Western media that has a slant, an angle, a slope, how do we now have a clear conversation about where y'all is and how we could keep y'all out? That's it. That's me. I don't think that that needs to be watered down or washed down with, well, Luby, if you like Haitians so much, you need to go back. I don't know. Luby is my guy, and he knows the issues intimately. If I had someone else that I could be able to lean on that's willing to have this kind of a conversation, I'd give them a call. So I don't know whether or not this is being able to identify. See, we don't know this kind of issue, man. We don't know this. Shoot straight. We don't know this, man. We don't know this. And many of us have not even traveled to regions that had this kind of an issue. I tell you, when I lived in Cuba, if you know what happened with the Bay of Pigs, right? How the embargo happened with Cuba, right? And the Bay of Pigs. If you know the militant mindset that exists in Cuba, if you ever visit the outskirts, not Havana, I'm talking about the outskirts of Cuba, you would realize that there's a tunnel system that runs through the entire island. There was a tunnel, there was an underground tunnel system that runs through the entire island. And one day, just walking down the street in Cuba, I hear, woo, me and a group of people, woo, and 150. This is how it feels. It made me feel more than that. Cuban soldiers pop out of the ground. They was just hitting a routine. This is their regiment. This is what they do in terms of preparation. We don't know this turmoil. We don't know. We don't know this turmoil. The closest we've gotten to that is to see the crime that exists in our streets today. These people need to live. They want to live. And it ain't only the Bahamas are dealing with this. They're dealing with it region-wide. Let's have clarity and understanding and realize that we're dealing with human beings. They're not dogs. My God, I just want to be decent as I say this. Even my dog, I get a nice little Belgian. I don't, no, can't feed my dog like that. Why do we seek to be able to do that to human beings? This is bananas to me. Lines are open. Be a part of the conversation. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line with us live. Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
I thought you got a call not to accept my call, man.
Now, why would I do that? What you say?
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Behemoth's first in the country where we live, you know. So, yeah, I wanted to make a little joke with Luby, but I guess you could bring him on. I want to know what he learned in the Washington about climate change and have a one-on-one conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get back to the situation. Maybe I appreciated what Luby did,
mm-hmm.
because Luby's well versed in his history. So I wanted to widen the conversation, because I like what you and Luby is talking about. And the fact that most of us are too naive to can't concede that this is a geopolitical construct, and geopolitics for decades and almost a century now that has been happening in Haiti, right? I think we could go back as far as we could go back as far as Charlemagne Peralta. All right? I'll call you back.
Okay, Gus, give me a call when you get a chance. Guys, the lines are open if you want to be able to do that. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720, hitting up 422-4796. They burn things down because they stuck on stupid. There's a text that's coming through. This is a lot. There's a text that's coming through. Like you've never been in a row and break a plate. That's a text that's coming through. Uh-huh. Like you've never been in a row and tear a shirt. Is this only me? Like you never was angry at a point where you felt like to be able to exert this energy that you have, somebody got it. I got to hit something. That's why people get pillows. People start doing kickboxing. Because why? This pent up emotion that we have, we got to be able to transfer the energy. Come on. I don't understand. There is nothing different than this that we see what's happening in America. The great and beautiful America. When there's issues, these people storm January 6th, they storm their own capital because of pent-up anger. Maybe because prior they were stuck on stupid, and then the pent-up anger, based upon the stupidity, placed them in this position. But you had to exert the energy. This is what happens. You look at history, this is what happens. Can't call the people stupid for that. Next telephone call. Caller on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Hello.
Hey, come on.
You're on with me now. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, sir, but I was waiting for like a couple of days. Just to address, see, it's funny when you guys have these emotive, disingenuous discussions and don't allow persons to chime in. But this is how I look at it. If you continue to allow to unskilled persons from another country to compete with your poor and unskilled in your country economically, that same poor country that you sympathize with will become your country eventually. And secondly, when persons of... it seems that persons always like to cry victimhood. You're telling me that these people just ride the seas and don't have a destination where they're coming? I mean, is that what you guys, not you, but come on now. The technology, see, and this is where our law enforcement agencies need to either do some undercover work or do some real work, because somebody is profiting off this chaos. Because why are you telling me that no one could infiltrate the shanty towns or, I mean, you have consultants who are of Haitian descent, so you're saying you can't have consultants who could infiltrate to find out what's really going on? Does that make sense to you?
Well, I'm listening to you, and I hear what you're saying, and I accept what you're saying. I accept it.
You're quite intelligent. Come on.
No, I accept it. I accept that.
Every other country, they infiltrate the gang or the different organizations or crime mob or whatever to so they could filter information to eradicate the situation. But somehow in a country of only 400 to 500,000 people, we're not intelligent enough to say, to get to the bottom of this, let's infiltrate... somehow infiltrate the shanty town, or somehow find someone who we could trust to get us real information. Because come on now, there's no way in 2024 these folks could maneuver their way all the way through, all the way up Bahama Bank and end up somewhere in the shanty town if they're not meeting family and friends. All I'm saying is that's how real discussions and not the steamroll discussions when we know it logically it makes no sense, is what I'm saying. And lastly, my last point, and I'll hang up. The only thing, if you want to see real change, let these people come in and compete for radio show, talk show hosts. Let them compete for ministers and all these other jobs that or lawyers and stuff, and you will see something change. Only because most people are to the top or middle class are not being affected. They use these people for cheap labor, so hence they're not going to do anything about it. The real people who feel in it are the people to the bottom. That's who really feel in it, and that's why you hear all this vitriol that's freaking out from those people to the bottom, which are the large majority of your population. But see, you or a person to the top, you could box elegantly and say, oh, no, you got to emphasize. If you're to the bottom and you're struggling, and then you have some people competing for your job and doing it for less because they come from a less impoverished place, you will be out. Listen, you have behemoths right now sleeping in cars. You have mothers right now sleeping in cars, but all you could hear your government saying, I'm going to Jamaica because we have to help Haiti. And even though that we need to help Haiti, what the people to the bottom is thinking, like, by the, he helping us, he talk, always talk about this other country, but we have people here suffering right here in the Bahamas. Even though he might be saying the right thing, it looks bad. And I'll hang up on this.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. I want to start it. I listened to what you said, and I can't fight you. To start it off with, I believe that certain technologies, if we had the access and ability to do that, to see that the Royal Bahamas Defense Force now, after the 4,000 persons who you know are criminal natured, could possibly being able to find a way out of Haiti. And so you would do everything you can do to be able to stop that. It says to me that maybe you could have taken some positions further. But when you start to talk about this kind of a stark contrast, right, and this comparison to the workforce and persons being able to come over here or even internally to the separation of the upper class, the middle class, and the lower class, the fact of the matter is for me, for Howard Grant, for me, I do see humanity. I do see humanity. I have the responsibility for as a person who has the microphone to be able to speak with a calm approach, not to incite violence or insurrection or an issue associated with that, to be able to lend a balance, right? I have a responsibility for that. Despite what my prejudice may be, despite what my position may be, I have to look optimistically in this particular capacity because my voice travels far and wide. It is our responsibility to identify these things and have clarity of conversation. But the one thing I think we need to carry away from this conversation is that when Luby George indicated that the criminals, those persons, those gang members and leaders no longer turn the gun on its people. They say that they were influenced. They say that they were paid. They say that they were instructed to be able to keep the poor poor and always visit hell upon them. And they were paid strategically by politicians whose names they called. Do you realize that there is a comparison that exists here? Do you realize that without pronouncements out at the forefront in formality, that this exact same thing exists in our country? There is absolutely no difference. The only one thing that separates us from Haiti as it relates to this specific portion, the fact that they are willing to fight and lose it all for the hopes of being able to get true liberty and independence. And we, locally, have conditioned our minds to be content. Let's talk about this. Let me take this commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
Creativity is in my blood. From shoes to handbags, fashion lets me express myself and embody Bahamian culture. My name is Aiden Barrow, and I'm the creative director of House of Assembly. Alive's Liberty Prime Plan allows me to focus on my passion and stay connected, whether at home or abroad. Once I've created something new, I can post to social media from anywhere and get instant feedback. Alive has a plan for everyone, and it's created with you in mind. Alive, believe in best.
This Easter, from March 29th to April 3rd, witness history in the making at the Betty Kellen-Kenning Aquatic Center. Cheer on Team Bahamas as we dive into history, swimming our way towards a sixth straight victory at the Charifta Aquatics. Feel the thrill of competition as 500 athletes from 24 countries from across the Caribbean converge in the Bahamas for the championship title. Immerse yourself in the greatest youth athletic spectacle being held in the Bahamas this year. Watch live as champions are born, records are shattered, and dreams are realized. The Charifta Aquatics isn't just a competition. It's a showcase of the future of swimming right in the heart of Nassau. Mark your calendars. This Easter, March 29th to April 3rd, the Charifta Aquatics at the Betty Kellen-Kenning Aquatic Center. See ticket information and full schedule at CharIftaAquatics.com. See you at the poolside.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
It's Easter time again, and it's time to stop by Paradise Fisheries, located at number 16 Harley Street, Mount Royal Avenue. We are now accepting those large orders for fish fries on Good Friday. So give us a call today at 325-3301 or stop by our stores between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Fridays and 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Paradise Fisheries, still your one-stop shop for all of those Easter desires.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation. I got to read you a couple of these things. These people are wilding out. Please know that I'm not afraid to read these texts. I am very assured in who I am and stand in my conviction. I don't tell you nothing I don't believe. Amen. So I will read your texts, and I may call your name too, because, people got to judge for themselves and watch out for you. Talk to me, because if this wasn't your mind and your spirit, amen, people need to know this. So let's read it. It says, why do you have a Haitian telling us how to run our country for the benefit of Haitian people? Howard, you are nothing but a frozen conch. Give away your children birthright and laugh like it's a joke. Beyond frustrated with stupidity. This is the text is coming through. Says, Howard, how can you have a discussion about a home or home rental for Haitian illegal immigrants and not for Bahamians? Who send for them? Howard, I hope that they replace you with a Haitian. You're nothing but a traitor. This is a text that's coming through. It's difficult to argue in the midst of emotion. It's difficult. It's difficult to have a very clear and balanced conversation if you lead with emotion. You can't hear nothing nobody said.
Okay, so let me educate you on a couple of things. After Hurricane Dorian, there was no place for anyone to stay in Abaco. There was no place. There was no place. After Hurricane Dorian, the government of the Bahamas sought to be able to put some trailers in. They tried to be able to get 60-acre tract of land to develop some homes. They've been identifying people. You've now seen Ambassador Rick Fox being able to take on this kind of position and building some homes, right? Both in Abaco and Eleuther. I think he has Abaco, right? But more specifically, I see him doing some stuff in Eleuther. The government of the Bahamas has been looking for places to develop. There are many NGOs and other persons who sought to go to Abaco, whether that's teachers, doctors, all these people, but had no place to stay in Abaco. They had no place to stay in Abaco. Whether they were Haitian, Dominican, Mexican, Cuban, Bahamian, it didn't matter. You had no place to stay in Abaco. The conversation that Luby Georges started with me to talk about whether or not there are places for these persons to access had nothing to do with Haitians more specifically. He's indicating that if there is labor needed for the development thereof and there is no place for these people to stay, what is the expectation? That's what are the what he's insinuating. Where do you expect them to stay? That's neither saying that he supports that or he rejects this particular position. This is just very clear conversation. He indicated that he'd like to come back and stretch that out over 2 hours. I'd like to have that conversation also. No way is he indicating that this is for Haitians specifically. Come on, man. This is the fear that I have when we try to have a conversation outside of the borders of the Bahamas. This is the fear that I have. The fear of being able to open up a conversation for constructive dialogue that always leads us to the position that, well, you're a Haitian, you need to go back home. My God, when are we going to mature? Why we can't have a clear conversation with clarity and put points down and present those particular things with a stern position to our government and say, this is our expectations for you to move forward with. Why? Why we get to lead with emotions? I hate Haitians. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me fix that. I hate Haitians with why. This is too much, man. I'm not out here as a sympathetic person for no one. I told y'all my story. I am a traitor. Now, let me see if I can read the rest of this. I read your... Trina, Miss Trina, I read your stuff. I just want you to be very clear. You always text me for COI. You always text me to indicate exactly your position as exactly what should happen from the COI and how Lincoln Bean is doing all these things. Miss Trina, you text me again on my personal phone. You continue to be able to do this. I don't know why you even take the time to listen. I don't know. Let's talk about this. If we can't do so without the emotion, then I don't think you should contribute. It's very easy. You should just turn the radio off. It's difficult. Just turn the radio off. Because this is not lending to the growth of who we are as a nation. This is perpetuating another generation of idiots. And all we're trying to do is fix that. Let's be decent. Let's just be decent in our approach as we deal with these things. All right, let me take a next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead. Hi.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Wonderful.
This sounds like my girl. I know who this is.
Yes.
Praise God. What's happening with you?
Now, I wish Luby was still there because I actually sort of kind of agreed with him on some of the things because we used to go toe-to-toe back in the day. However, okay, now let me just preface this with this. While in Miami, I was the education manager for the Haitian Heritage Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I had an opportunity, which was a part of my job, to go to Haiti. And we went there to dig trenches for, you know, fresh running water and to plant trees. We were there for about a week. And each one of us that was there, we were assigned 2 UN guards. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And with my studies and you know, working with certain people in the Haitian community, one of the things that I've realized, for the most part, let me preface it with this, for the most part, nothing happens in Haiti without the tacit approval of Haitians. Let me say this. When Luby said Bill Clinton destroyed the rice fields, he destroyed the rice industry in Haiti. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He indicated that.
He indicated that.
Yes, yes.
But see, what people fail to realize that they like to skip over when he apologized. Because listen, because we got to be critical thinkers here. Who owned, remember, before Bill Clinton came in there, somebody owned those rice fields. And they were Haitians, right? And when Bill Clinton apologized for what he did, you know what he said after that? I know it wasn't good for the common man, but my friends in Pétainville,
come on now,
are happy.
Come on.
Okay?
Come on.
At what
point? No different than what happened in South Africa. No
Thank
different.
You. Here's my thing. I watched a video yesterday because I wanted to understand what was going on in Haiti. I'm like, when did all of this happen? Why did it happen? And I actually made a post, okay? And I was like, no, Maurice, you're wrong. You know you should not have been there that long, okay? You know you're supposed to be there at a certain time. You should have left. And, I mean, this documentary that I watched, it, and most of this stuff I knew already because of the job that I had before. But at some point, the Haitian community has to take responsibility for where they are. Bill Clinton just didn't go into Haiti and say, okay, give me all y'all rice fields. He made deals with somebody in Haiti get those fields.
Nobody will talk like this. That's all I'm saying.
Come on now.
These are classes. All this is classes.
It is.
That's all this is classes.
Nothing happens in Haiti without the tacit approval of Haitians. You get mad with the United States because they're not helping. But when they say, because my father always taught me, when I'm doing you a favor, it shouldn't cost me nothing.
Talk to me.
I'm doing, now, Citibank could never get my money. I'm upset that nobody's calling on France to come down here and do something.
Talk to me.
Okay? I understand why the DR feels the way they do, and guess what? I'm like them. I would hold a grudge that long, too. Okay? Because we need to have real conversations about this. We need to have real conversations.
Nobody would talk like that, though.
I'm sorry?
They didn't even tell me about emotions that exist because they keep coming here. They wouldn't come here. Well, watch me. President Henry right now is in Puerto Rico. Now, based upon the information that we've had, is that he's in Puerto Rico. They found out where he was in Puerto Rico, and they had a protest in front of the hotel. He had to move in Puerto Rico. They wouldn't let him land nowhere else in the world. But why he didn't go back to France? Why France didn't take him in? Why?
Because and it started with them. We now understand, and they were caught between a rock and a hard place with why they had to pay France back. It's not fair. France has to take some responsibility in this. They have to. Okay? But to the point that I was making earlier, they don't want the United States in there. Oh, Biden, the blood is on your hand. He says, but y'all don't want me there. Y'all don't want us to meddle. I don't. It's like, I kind of juxtapose it like the F&M, what's going on with them right now. Menace, we don't want you. Nobody wants you. But, oh, because we didn't achieve this, it's because Menace wasn't a team player. That's how I look at that.
Wow.
It's either you want me or you don't. Oh, Biden's going to have this blood on his hand, but he provided $100 million towards the efforts in helping Haiti. It's like, what? I don't understand what it is that they want.
Well, I don't believe, and this is why I try to stretch it out. I appreciate your telephone call, my dear. Thank you so much
for your call.
Right? I want to be very clear about this. The reason why I keep trying to stretch this conversation out with Luby is that I don't know a time. Historically, I had to do a study when I was in COB before they became UB, right? This was in 2010, right? Right after the earthquake that happened in January, we had to write a paper on the thing. I got 100% of the paper, right? No, I think I got about 90-something percent, right? Almost 100. I got an 8 on the paper. And all the studies I indicated that the majority of prime ministers were either exiled out of the country, right? Or the presidents, right? Leadership, let's do this. Leadership was assassinated, committed suicide. This is information that you could access. This is information that is easily accessible to you. I never attached anything from a spiritual perspective. I never gone into religion. I only say what the information I found. I put all this down. I had a white teacher from Alabama talking to us about these things. And in the class, they led with emotion. I think we need to stop being so stupid. This is what they said to me in 2010. I said, but what do you mean? Did you not do the studies? Yeah, but he did. Okay. And then he read it. He said, no, Howard is absolutely correct. This is the information that's accessible to them. This is the position, so forth and so on. My only point is that there has always been turmoil in one way or another that exists within leadership in Haiti. Now, the fact of the matter is that despite the fact that they're screaming, yelling right now for a new path, a new way, who says in another 18 months, another 24 months, they're not going to have the exact same issue? Who says it? Who says that Haiti may not be in the exact same spot in another 36 months? Who says that? Who? No one can say that they will or they won't. And what we come to understand is that there is a class war between the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots screaming for liberty and independence and freedom, but the haves who have relationships the world over seek to keep the things the way it is. My God, this is where the uproar is. And if we were to have issues, listen, when your children go to Canada right now, when your children go to Canada, United States of America, Europe, all over the world right now, and they seek an opportunity not only for education, they have an overarching objective. I will acquire education, and I'll do my best to stay in this space. Are we any different when we're looking for independence? I mean, just talk to me. Let's talk. Are we any different when we're looking for an opportunity to be able to strengthen our generation, to do better than our parents? I hate to see that they come in here. I hate to see that. No one's screaming about the fact that we have a significantly increasing Venezuelan population here in the country right now as a result of what's happening in Venezuela. You'll need to stop. You'll need to stop. Or are you content with the fact that your children will be curly here as opposed to be dark with strong cheekbones? Let's talk, man. Let's go back to the taboo situation. You don't want to talk like this. Venezuela money ain't worth nothing. Nothing. I speak Spanish. And in speaking to one of the young ladies, I said, well, what you doing here? Where you from? Where your family from? Where you from? She said, I'm from Venezuela. I said, oh, your country having a lot of issues, man. After your leadership died and was assassinated, went through all whatever. I'm just talking. I said, man. She said, I can't even feed my baby. So I said, what you doing in the Bahamas? She said, I come here to look so I could stay. I'm looking to get pregnant. And this was she telling me straight up. But dude, we have no conversation with that. You would rather have a conversation to say that y'all is over by in the back there by where the place name in Fort Charlotte, and someone allegedly got HIV from these particular people. That's the conversation you have to the forefront. Oh my God, they're coming over here lighting up the people, but you're not looking at the fact that they here having nothing. Come on, man, let's have a clear conversation. Our country is susceptible. We are geographically in a position that if they can't get into America, they're coming here. That's globally. That's Chinese. That's Venezuela. That's Haiti. That's Cuba. That's everyone. And we keep screaming about the fact that we get 400,000 people. But if we do the math, we realize that 185,000 people may be Bahamian. This cannot only be Haiti. It has to be an issue that we're not dealing with from a governmental standpoint, from a legislative standpoint, that we're not dealing with from a defense standpoint. But because we need to be able to have a culprit, let's go for the low-hanging fruit. Let's blame Haiti. Let's talk, man. Have a very clear conversation in this country. Let's have a clear conversation that you're losing your birthright. But we cannot do so and try to reclaim it by dealing with low-hanging fruit. It's easy to deal with Haitians. It's easy. But you said nothing to the Indians who take over your merchant class. You don't say nothing to them. You say nothing when you go to the doctor and your doctor is an Indian. You don't say nothing to these people. Why are we talking like this? Y'all don't talk no more. You hang up the phones. You don't want to talk like this no more. Let's be clear and honest with ourselves first. That what good for Peter is good for Paul. Because that too is a display of our ignorance. That is a display of our prejudice. Once you're curly here, we could accept you. But my God, if your cheekbone's sharp, I'm a little indifferent with that. Let's go to the telephone lines. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it's me again. I was trying to call him.
What's happening, my brother?
I like it humanized, the stories. But the lady who called from the United Nations, I've been saying this stuff. I learned nothing from her. She was right? The caller before I got on, so I agreed with the Bahamian standpoint. But, you know, it's simple words I say. It's geopolitics, Howard.
And yes.
Why should I have to get into all of the details? If we could, you know, first, I'd like to say, maybe you're right about the curly hair thing, but let's remember within the phenotype that, you know, Africans have curly hair too. And so, you know, my grandfather is maybe somehow miscegenated with the red Bahamians. And some of, you know, my son come up with this little curly hair, like the Afro curly, you know what I mean? And I notice people would always talk about how good they look and all that. It sickens me sometimes. Like, you know, I'm really dying leaving my just 10 days because everybody's saying how handsome he is. And I'm not jealous, but I don't like it. You know, people just, they go up and they think about looks. And so maybe you're right, Howard. You know, we just want to run it from everything African. But remember the indigenous people of Australia and some African tribes have this curly hair also, you know. So remember that this is why the Spanish people have their beauty, because they have miscegenated with black people. So you know, as relates to as being a pan-Africanist as I am, right? And somewhat well-read, right? I can understand everything Luby was saying, what she was saying. And so when Luby talked about destroying the rice industry in Haiti, they didn't only destroy it in Haiti. They did the same thing in Guyana. And then you also see the Kissinger Report, the Third World Depopulation Agenda, and the Food for Aid program, in which they threaten Guyana unless they adhere or would let the U.S. government induce the population control, break control parameters, that they would stop giving them food aid. You read it, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is you could find out about secret experiments and many hidden racial agendas. So, I agree with her as far as France paying the blame, but America and Britain also should foot the blame because they run the geopolitical arena. They control the Council on Foreign Relations. They developed the United Nations that they were supposed to, say, make peace throughout the world. But, you know, what I'm saying is this is the apocalyptic time and unraveling, the revealing of truth. So we know why the United Nations implemented, but most third world leaders can't see. You have to read books. Maybe you could read. I mean, sometimes people get mad when they say read books. So let me leave that alone. Because sometimes you could use common sense and see that there's a geopolitical fallout against Africans all over the world. Anyhow, so just what I'm saying is national secret study memorandum 200 and 220. Just go and Google it and read it for yourself. Because every time
national secrets memorandum 220.
Yeah, 200 and 220. Third world population, the agenda is called the Kissinger Report. You know, some of these information is declassified. So, and we could go back. I say America should foot the blame because I mentioned the story of Charlemagne Peralta. Can't remember his second name. Maybe Luby liked it. He was against the U.S. occupation from 1915 to 1948. He was strategic. He led forces against the U.S. Occupation. And he was a hero, and so he died as a young man. But what I'm saying is he was symbolically crucified just to instill the fear of what happens when you go against Western power. So we don't need to get into all of the details, Howard. I've been following globalist agendas for so long, until no event is a black swan event unless it comes from God. Your black swan events, black budget, black book, black cat, black Friday, black. Come on, man, let's wake up, man. Give thanks. Bless them, everything.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Howard, the other nations, the other nationals don't come here to set up shanty towns. That is the difference. Okay. Woo! Y'all need to stop it. The only thing you know is what exists to the edge of your nose brim. That's it. That's all you could see. That's all you could deduce. You can't even lift your head to see the horizon of what's happening in your own community. I just had an opportunity to be able to live out east now. I live out east now, right? And so I go to the shop on Mackey Street, right? I go to the shop in these particular areas. These people are working in our country, and 17 of them live in one house. You content with that? Once they could rent it. You content with that? These people are here in your country, living a lifestyle in areas that you could only imagine living. But they can't do so independently. They have to do so in groups. They crowdfund to purchase a space. They've already come from living in an environment where they had one twin and two people or three people sleep on that, so forth and so on. Now they live in the Bahamas. They are absolutely content. Listen to me. You need to learn more about the immigrants that exist in your own space. If the only thing that you see is what exists in your little area, then of course, I see why you're beating it down. Oh, they want the shanty town and so forth. These people are taking up and acquiring the real estate in your country. Your children can't. Your children now have to be able to get a service lot for $15,000. And you're content with that. You're content with that. Your satisfaction is $50 increase on your minimum wage, and no one having a conversation about living wage. No one talking about education. No one talking. You're content with that. As they boom in your country, let's start to do proper statistics. Let's start to look at these things. Let's go into the Princess Margaret Hospital. Let's go into Doctors Hospital and identify who is being born here in the Bahamas. Stop it. I told you I got my U.S. visa the other day. Stood in the line. The guys, the person asked him, how long were you in the Bahamas? 6 months. With a passport? Jesus, the man can't speak English. He got 6 months here in the country with a Bahamian passport. How that could happen? How this could happen? These people are corrupt. There is corruption happening here, and the only thing you care and concern is about is what you can see before you. 6 months in the country, and they're trying to get a U.S. visa. Shop in. You all need to stop it and have a clear conversation about what's happening in our country. And let's do so without emotion, without identifying any one specific ethnicity, and look at the core of that issue. Man, this is illegality. This is crime. This is corruption. We got to talk more about this. We got to do these particular things. I don't want to be the target of this issue. I only want to introduce the conversation. That's issue. I don't want to be labeled, what the woman texted me, the same woman. She texted me, she said, I am a Haitian sympathizer. And a Haitian should take my job. I am nothing but a traitor. They should sell me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in with me. I hope that you are, says Howard, you have to be more open-minded. Stop thinking that you have the monopoly on information. I don't. And that's why we introduce these conversations and I open the lines. So it says, Haitian problem stems way back from the coup in 2024. Luby and others, including the PM of the Bahamas and Haiti, don't want to address the elephant in the room. Repatriations. Oh, this is heavy stuff. Right? Say, Howard, who's corrupt? Right? So it says, hey, Howard, as simple as it is, the Bahamas is a nation for sale. The Bahamas is a nation for sale. With agendas, geopolitics, whose strong interpretations, my God. We have been hoodwinked 1,000%. As an organic Bahamian, we suffered and taken from our children. I like the text. I want to thank you guys so much for being able to tune in with us today, supporting this conversation and being able to chime in. We're going to have more conversations like this. It's going to be a little bit taboo. It's going to be a little bit tight, but we're going to make it right here on the foundation. I thank you so kindly. I'll see you tomorrow, God spare, right here on 96.9 FM.
Foundation. The foundation.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.